All righty. If you have your Bibles with you, again for the 50th time, 51st time, please bring your Bibles with you. I know most of you guys have it. I know we're used to the work in our media team, but it'll be up there. But I would encourage you guys to bring your physical Bibles to church and follow along as we read and preach in Ezekiel chapter 36. Turn to with me, Ezekiel chapter 36. We're going to read verses 22 to 28 if you could follow along and if you could rise if you're able for the reading of God's Word. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 22 to 28. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 22 to 28. This is God's word to us this morning. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which had been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness. And from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove your heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God and his word. You may be seated. If you could again join me, those who are watching online, if you could join me together now and let's go to the Lord together in prayer and asking for God's help now. For the Lord to speak to us in such a way that no man is able to penetrate. So let's pray. Father in heaven, again we have read your word. These words are not words of man ultimately, but men spoke from God through your Holy Spirit. You are speaking to your people now through your word. Oh Lord, help us to bow our knees before your word. Help us to listen to your word and give us a willing spirit to change and conform our ways to your ways. Conform our thoughts to your thoughts. Our rules to your holy, righteous rules that gives life, not bondage. Oh Lord, help us now. May your word of God cut us to the heart. That we might have a spirit that's broken, a broken and contrite heart that you will not despise. Lord, make that miracle happen. Oh Creator God, the maker of heaven and earth. Come,
be merciful to us. May the power of your word, the spirit of truth, come and transform us in ways that no man is able to do. We ask for a miracle now. Raise us, wake us up from our spiritual slumber, I pray. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your spirit in and through Christ. Amen. Amen. Again, we're continuing our series, a difficult section in the Bible. Through the prophets. And I have broken up the prophetic books in two sessions, but I'm going to put another category. There is prophets that came before the exile. 722 BC, the Assyrians came and dragged God's people because of their sin for not just 2 months, but for two centuries. Amazing. It's amazing that God would put up His own people centuries of sin and rebellion in God's people. So there are prophets who came before the exile, and there are prophets who came after the exile. And this morning, there's prophets or books that was written during the exile. The book of Ezekiel, book of Daniel, and we already went to the book of Esther. Those three books are during the exile. And this morning, of course, is the book of Ezekiel. There comes a time when God will draw the line. It is true that God is a God of mercy, that He is a gracious God, a compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, sweet. And that's why perhaps why people, sometimes you and I, take God's mercy for granted, push to the limits, and His patience, and think that a God of love would never resort to wrath and punishment as a solution to sin. But you and I and the Israelites underestimate the glory of God. He is the judge of all the earth. He is holy, holy, and holy. And He cannot, will not abide sin, especially His people who live and walk in rebellion and sin. God has sent to deliver us, free us, not to go back into sin and rebellion. And God will not hesitate to use the rod and hurt us more than you and I could imagine that Him doing to His own people. And there is a good reason for this. And the reason is this. If we are made to hurt enough for our sins, we are going to get a new respect for God, and we will learn not to play games with God anymore. Perhaps the Israelites assume, again, that being God's people, God's chosen people, possession of the blessing of the promised land, things are good, flowing with milk and honey, that He will never raise His hand in wrath against His own people. But what they were confusing is the wrath of God against unbelievers
with the severe discipline that God will hand out to His own people.
The wicked will be destroyed, but the people of God, you and I should not be thinking that God wouldn't also put us, His own people, through suffering and pain if need be. Again, God hasn't given us the blessings of the kingdom through Christ to return back to our old ways. Paul says, put on the new self. The old self, put out. Anger, sexual impurity. That's how you lived before. Now put on the new self. Don't do those things. Turn from them. You have been saved, delivered from those old ways that you used to live. You and I used to live. You have been saved to live a new way. And if need be, God will, from time to time, in His own wisdom, the Lord will purify us with troubles, hardships, discipline, sickness, pain, and failure. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10 to 11. Our Father disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems to be pleasant at the time, but what? Painful. It's extremely painful. But he goes on later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And perhaps too, often our confusion when the Lord disciplines us for our sin is due to the fact that immediately we do not recognize that this punishment, this chastisement, is the hand of God in our lives. I mean, our kids, my kids, from time to time, they know when we discipline us. When they push to our limits and rebellion, immediately we say, Noah, go to the room. And he knows exactly what it means. As my wife and I see fit. But when God punishes His people for their sins, who refuse to repent of their sins, He uses other people. He uses circumstances in our lives. And often, you know, I could imagine the news in Israel, the newspaper, if they had newspaper back then, that when the Babylonians came and destroyed God's people, they would say, the invasion is because of poor diplomacy. This invasion is because of this evil nation. And the Israelites were victims of this cruelty. But the prophets made it clear what the physical eye couldn't see. The enemy was a tool, the nation was a tool in God's hand to whip His own people for their sins against Him. They were not victims. It wasn't poor diplomacy, but rebellious children, and the Lord had enough. Look what He says in Ezekiel chapter 23. Therefore, O Holy Abba, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will stir up your lovers against you, those who turned away
from in disgust. I will bring them against you from every side. The Babylonians and the Chaldeans, the men of Pekah, Shoah, and Koah, and all the Assyrians with them. Handsome young men, all of them governors and commanders, chariot officers, and men of high rank, all mounted on horses. They will come against you with weapons, chariots and wagons, and with a strong throng of people. They will take up positions against you on every side with large and small shields and with helmets. I will turn you over. I will turn you over to them for punishment, and they will punish you according to their standards. Brothers and sisters, you too, we Christians think that we don't deserve failure and sickness and bankruptcy and unemployment, loss of friends, accidents, bad reputations, and all the other ills of life. And our first reaction when those things happen is, what do you think? Is to blame God for all of them. Look what he says in Proverbs 19, verse 3. A man's own folly brings his way to ruin, yet his heart rages against the Lord. It may be that we brought all these ills to ourselves. Perhaps we deserve these problems. It may be that God, our God, is dealing harshly with us to get our attention. Since we weren't listening, the time to repent and turn by the mercy of God, chances after chances, for centuries, for months and years, and the chance to learn the lesson the easy way is over. So the rebellious child has to learn the hard lesson to get their attention to God. Psalm 32, verse 9. Look at it. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. I think many times we as God's people can imagine how we could go through an utter disaster like the Israelites and come better off than we were at the beginning. And this is routine to God. God specializes in ways that works in His infinite wisdom. God wins by losing. Impossible situations to us, but highly effective in purifying His people from sin. It gives us cold chills to think that we will only be living by dying, get rich by giving away our wealth, become holy by suffering. God's way of doing things is far beyond your and my comprehension. He expects us to trust Him in all ways, even if we can't understand His ways. Look what He says in Isaiah chapter 55, 8 to 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Matthew 16, if anyone will come after me, must deny himself and take up of his cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me or my sake will find it. Or James chapter 1 is down there, Karen, don't worry. James chapter 1. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet various kinds of trials. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. For us is a pain, but to God is a saving effect that we go through these various kinds of trials and suffering and pain in our lifetime. And the rest of the time, I want to focus on three things, the three visions that the prophet Ezekiel saw in this book during the exile. The three things that Ezekiel, the three visions that God showed. And the interesting thing is, God only showed this to the prophet, not the Israelites. And look at what God showed the prophet Ezekiel. Three visions. Number one, the prophet Ezekiel saw the Lord leave the temple, the city of Jerusalem, in chapter 10. And this actually happened. The Lord left 2 full years before the destruction. And what the Israelites didn't realize, what the prophet Ezekiel saw, that when God left, they lost all protection. They had a temple, an empty temple to pray in. Remember, the reason the temple worked is because God was there. His presence was there in the Holy of Holies, giving out the forgiveness of sins. It wasn't the blood and the animals. It was God, through seeing the animals, God forgave his people. He listened to the prayers of his people. Everything, the temple worked because God was present and He was working. He was blessing. He was providing. He was protecting them. Now, Ezekiel saw for 2 full years all the temple ceremonies, all the worship that they did, all the sacrifice that they did was empty. There was no forgiveness of their sin. God wasn't listening to their prayers because God left. And there is another hard lesson in the Lord's discipline. And since we, God's people, despised, the Israelites despised His leading us the easy way to do what He says through His word, by the gentle leading of the Spirit, what He will do, it says in Psalm 51, sometimes He will take the Holy Spirit from you. Psalm 51, verse 11. Psalm 51, verse 11. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. And I, as a young Christian, that was one of the popular songs back in the mid-90s. When I was in college. And I was just born-again Christian. I was like, can I lose the Spirit? right? And I'll ask the leader, can I lose the spirit? And of course, that's kind of stumped the leader. And they're like, I don't know. It seems like he says that. And I was always afraid. If I do this, I'm going to lose the spirit of God. Let me say this. And I hope this won't confuse you. I'm trying to make a point here. If you have the Spirit, you can't lose it. But if you lose it, you never had it. Look what he says in Ezekiel chapter 10. Ezekiel chapter 10, 18 to 9. This is the vision that Ezekiel saw. Then the glory of the Lord departed from over the threshold of the temple and stopped above the cherubim. While I watched, the cherubim spread their wings and rose from the ground as they went. The wheels went with them. They stopped at the entrance of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of God of Israel was above them. For 70 years, the Israelites sat in Babylon without all the blessings of God in the temple, fellowship with God, the mercy of God, all the ministry of the priests, the forgiveness of the sins, and the prayers and answers, they were all taken away. These were all taken away from them during their time of suffering and shame. And this was a fitting punishment. If God's people so despised the mercy and the love of God, instead of developing a close relationship with God and turn their backs on Him, then of course, when you do that, the Lord will also turn His back on His people and show them what it's like to live without Him. The Holy Spirit leaves. So you and I are going to get a taste without the protection, without the blessings, without the prayers answers, without the forgiveness of sins for a short time to get your attention. When someone grieves the Spirit, He will back off and leave that person in his troubles for a while for them to learn the lesson. And over time, you will realize all the joys came from the Lord. From staying in touch with Him. Not by openly rebelling against Him. I mean, my brothers and sisters, how does this church work? Is that because Sam? Is that because of me? Is that because of the Lord, the board, making all the decisions once a week in the meetings? How does the preaching work? Is that because of me and ultimately because of my preparation? No! The reason preaching works, this church work and the meetings and prayer meetings all work, not because of us. It doesn't. The church works because God is here. His presence is here. He makes this church work. God is indispensable. You and I are dispensable. The Bible studies, if you learn anything from all the small groups and the Bible studies in Sunday school, it's not because of me. Because God is teaching you. If you're convicted right now of your sin and you want to change, God, I'm sorry. Bow and repent. That wasn't me. with God, stirring your heart, giving you a heart to turn from your sins to God. If there's any growth in this church, it wasn't primarily because of the great preaching and teaching. I'm not saying it's bad teaching and preaching, but it's conjunction with the teaching and the preaching of God's people. But ultimately, God is teaching. God is showing you. God is growing you spiritually, maturity. There comes a time where God will take your spirit from you in your life for a short time when we rebel against God and not turn from our sin. And that's exactly what Ezekiel saw. 2 full years before the destruction. 2 full years. All their ceremonies were all empty. But God left. His presence left. And the Israelites, they didn't even know it. Ezekiel knew. He saw. The second vision that Ezekiel, the prophet, had was the coming of the armies of Babylon sent by God to destroy Jerusalem. God showed prophet Ezekiel the misery of the people of God brought by their sins. Now, at this point, it was not a matter of just punishment and threat. The punishment and threat is over. The chances of repenting is over. Now, God's people must be punished. And they will suffer in the hands of other nations. They'll be kicked around, so to speak, by other nations. Edomites, Ammonites, Egyptians, and others. And their suffering will last enough to bring about their repentance and their salvation. Turn. Suffering will last to bring about repentance. And remember, salvation, to be saved from their sins. Open rebellion against their own God. And third vision that Ezekiel had. Remember, all the prophets, even though there was it wasn't an empty threat. They saw if God's people do not repent and turn from their wicked ways, God will punish them. But also there was a message of hope. The third vision of Ezekiel, which God had planned from the beginning, is to bring His people back home. The leaving of the Spirit. Please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. It's just for a moment to teach you the lesson. The lesson is to bring you back home. The lesson is not to keep sinning, but walk in His way. I remember, I'm not going to tell which kid, but one of the kids, I came home and there was obviously, I don't know if you realize it or not, a lot of the battles that you have with your kid, believe it or not, a lot of it is power struggle. Yeah. I see one kid, we try to give them dessert. We give some prizes, for their good behavior. And, one kid at one time, we try to give them the dessert after the meal. It's not like before the meal or during the meal. It's usually after everyone finishes. It's not like one kid gets a special treatment if he finishes first. But the one kid this moment ran like this. He didn't even, he took a one bite or something.
and that I want my dessert now. And of course, my wife would say, no,
you're going to get your dessert after you finish your plate.
And he gets even more angry. He cries, ah, I want my dessert now. I don't want to finish my meal. I want to spoil my meal with the ice cream. So I don't get the nutrition in my body. You know, whatever. It was struggling. Like, I don't want to. I want to do it my way. I want it now. And of course, my wife doesn't relent. And he gets angrier and angrier. And he throws a plate and he throws it like that because he's so angry.
And I think often we are like that with God.
The power struggle. I want it my way. I'm not going to do it your way. I want it now.
Well, one time I came home and one of my child wasn't listening to Tasia. There are, you know, Tasia was like getting all stressed out. You know, why can't you just listen, do the schoolwork? And then one of the child didn't want to. He wanted to do it his own way. He wanted to play a game or play with a toy, not to do schoolwork. And he threatened, he said, I'm leaving. And I heard that. I was like, yeah? Okay, you want to leave?
Like, yeah, I'm leaving.
Like, okay. I was calm. Like, you may leave. And he looked at me like shocked. Like, oh?
He thought it was empty.
I said, yes, you may leave. And of course, he left. He left the back door. Of course, we're all watching what he would do. And he kind of went by the side of the church, you know, just a few feet. And he sat there for 5 minutes.
And we watched. I mean, the point of the, he wants to leave our presence and do his own thing. Rebellion.
We don't have to keep doing that. The point of the exercise, of course, it worked. He was outside in his pajamas. You know, like, just freezing. And then eventually, you know, when after 5-10 minutes he came back home. But that's what God is doing. The point of the punishment of God's people, your sin and my sin, is not just to punish you and leave you. It'll be short, well, maybe not short to us, but whatever long-lasting suffering for our sin is to bring you and me back in fellowship, doing what he's telling us. The life with God is good. The life with God is joyful. The life with God is a blessing, forgiveness of sins. Your prayers are working. And that's what Ezekiel saw in his third vision. Look what he says in Ezekiel 37. He saw the dry bones and he brought God's people back to life. Ezekiel chapter 37.
So I prophesied, I was commanded, and I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. The bones came together, bones to his bones. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews among them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. There was no breath in them. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from four winds, O breath. Breath, and the breath on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, and he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. This breath, this wind is the very Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity. And Ezekiel saw God's going to make God's people strong again. A strong nation under God, receiving all the blessings that come from Him and the protection. Not in rebellion, but walk in His way. And of course, our text this morning, Ezekiel 36, verse 24 to 28. I will take you from the nation and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle you clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness. From all your idols, I will cleanse you. And I'll give you a new heart, a new spirit I put within you. And I'll remove you the heart of stone of the flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you to cause you to walk, what? Not in rebellion sin. My statutes, and careful to obey my rules, the house rules. And you shall dwell in the land. When Christ died, buried, and when He resurrected from the grave, He was on the land for 500 days, sorry. I think 500 days. And then He went up, He flew in the cloud and went up to the throne of God. And remember what He did in Acts. He sent the Spirit of God upon the church. Put the Spirit of God in the church, in the hearts of His people. Why? Why would He do that? Because the Spirit of God is the very power of heaven. He's going to cause you who walk and wander away from God, He's going to cause you, lead you, whatever He takes. The spanking He will. Suffering He will. And that power is given to the church, to you, to lead you away from sin, away from rebellion. Learn God's ways. For what? Just to like have a good life here? No, the Spirit was sent to the church to cleanse you, to walk, learn the house rules. So that you might be led, where's He leading you? To where He is. To prepare you. To lead you and clean you. That's why the Spirit was sent. The power of heaven. And if He has to bit and bridle you like a horse, He will. To get you ready to live in heaven. But the glory of God is appreciated and exalted. Your life in heaven is all about center on God, not us. That is our joy. That is our life. Centering on God. Centering on growing and learning God's ways through His Word. So that you would on earth walk with God, walk in His way. Not rebel against them. If you do that, if you think Christianity and salvation is an opportunity for you to keep sinning and rebelling against His God, watch out. He will. He has ways to get your attention for you to stop sinning. And walk in His way. You will learn the hard lesson. You will. You will. So, the point is, learn. I would try to reason with my kid. When you rebel against my wife, life in the house won't go well for you. You won't. Just like when you rebel and take advantage of God's grace and keep on sinning and rebelling, your life will not go great. God will resort to a medicine to get your attention. He'll deliver you from your sin.
And of course, that's why Jesus came. Amen. He has come to start that process of bringing you and making you one with Him. Taking the wrath of God and the guilt of sin. So that you what might be delivered from the power of sin. And the Spirit of God is finishing that work in you. Work with Him. Why would you rebel against God? He's trying to save you from the sin that will destroy your life. It's amazing, amazing that we often choose sin. The wrong thing. Not the right thing. And we know. You know what the right way is. And when you keep ignoring God's gentle hand, merciful hand, all the prophets say this, He will resort to bring you back home into His fellowship with them. His hand, His punishment for His people. Isn't that why Jesus came? Not to free you to live in sin. That's not why He came. You shall give Him the name Jesus, for He will what? Deliver you from this life that you lived. The junk. All the dirty things, that dark things that you and I lived and did is to save you from those things. Deliver you from the power of sin and rebellion so we could now walk with God. Life. That's why Christ was sent as our Savior. That's why the Spirit is sent to the church to save you, get you ready to live with God in heaven forever in fellowship with Him, not in sin, in purity, in holiness, in righteousness. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that we will learn the lessons that's recorded in Your Word is plain and clear. We will not learn the hard way. We will turn our backs against the very things that's going to destroy our lives, the very thing that's going to destroy Your glory. Cause Your people to learn the easy way, I pray. Open our eyes to see light in our darkness, O Lord. The darkness of our own sins. That You will give us a heart of true repentance. A broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, oh God, You will not despise. May You shower that blessing upon this church. Help them to see the way of salvation is not rebelling against You. It is carefully to do what Your Word says, to learn Your Word. Your ways. But help us. Help Your people. Just like Enoch and your son. To walk in Your way. Pleasing in every way. For the sake of Your kingdom. And to give You all the glory and credit You deserve. Cause Your people to live of that kind of a glorious life, forsaking our rebellious ways, O Lord. Make that miracle happen. May that blessing come to this church. Shower us. May we pray and welcome it as a begging children, desperate, crying out to our Father who is compassionate to give us what we ask. Help us now. Be our teacher and our shepherd. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen.